gentlemen, you are listening to Cradio, cradio.org.au. You are live in the car of someone's car. I don't know who it is. But we're here, me, myself, MC and NA. We're here with Leah Darrow. Very excited to be spending some time with her to chat about what she's doing here in Australia, but also in general, any questions that we've got about her talks on modesty and also fashion, that sort of thing. So hello, Leah.
Hello.
Thank you so much for chatting with us and joining us tonight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Of course.
I have to ask you, now you've been in the country for how long now? A couple of days?
A couple of days, correct. Yep. Yes.
How are you finding Australia so far?
I love it. Oh, I love Australia. People are wonderful, very laid back, very jovial, and you've got great shoes. Everybody's wearing wonderful shoes. I've noticed.
I've never heard that before. Great shoes.
Yeah. I don't know. As soon as I got off the plane, I told my husband, I said, do you see their shoes? They're amazing.
Well, I'm used to Australians wearing, you wouldn't call them thongs, flip-flops.
Flip-flops, yes.
Flip-flops, sorry.
Yes,
yeah.
Thongs is something totally different.
Yes,
in
no.
We don't want to go there on the first. So how have you found doing the talks around Australia? You've been to Brisbane and Canberra, and now you're in Sydney. Which is your favorite city of all?
I don't know. I really like all three. Brisbane reminds me the most of San Diego, California, where I'm from. So I really liked that. It was a small beach town and it was really nice. Sydney is very alive, very fast, very exciting. Reminds me of New York City when I lived there.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
Canberra is great. It's got this wonderful land that's very spread out. It's a little chilly at times, but it's really beautiful. You see a lot of wildlife and you can't beat it. It's fantastic.
It's awesome.
They say with Canberra, we've got relatives that live there, it's either it's extreme weathers, so it's like you're living life on the extreme. It's either really, really cold or really, really hot. It's just there's nowhere really in between.
In between, yeah.
Now, can you tell our listeners just exactly what you're doing here in Australia so that they get a picture of your mission?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I've been brought out by Parousia Media, and I've been speaking all over so far. I've spoken four times now, and I have, I believe, 12 more talks to go here in Australia until I leave on September 11th. And what I've been doing is just sharing my story. That's one of the biggest things, is sharing my reversion story back to the Catholic Church. It's a story of conversion. It's a story of God's mercy, God's compassion and forgiveness. But it's also wrapped up into a couple other things. I go into things like chastity. What is real love versus the imitation love that the world offers? Yeah. I also go into modesty and women and fashion and things like that. And then I talk a little bit about media, culture, reality TV, and my experiences being on America's Next Top Model, and my viewpoint before I was on the show, my viewpoint while I was on the show, and then my viewpoint now, having reflected back on all of that.
Yeah. I noticed during my research, I stumbled across some fan websites from America's Next Top Model, and I noticed that there was a profile of yourself, and it talks about how you went from doing stuff with America's Next Top Model and all the other work that you did. And it actually mentioned now that you're working for the church, and it sort of shared a little bit about your story. Do you find that there's a lot of positivity about what you've done in coming back to the church and promoting the church's work and the church's ideas of chastity and real love and those sorts of topics?
Well, I think it depends on who you ask. Probably from the pop culture media standpoint, it's probably not as positive as we would like it to be, but I can't expect anything different. I mean, it's culture. It's not exactly going to be completely in line with God's love and God's laws. I know I've seen comments in the past, and I really stopped reading them because it's not worth my time, but people saying, oh, she's hypocritical. She's going back to this church thing. She's trying to be this good girl. And, you know, I could really care less what they think or say. Because there's no way they can call me a hypocrite. I mean, all the terrible things I've done in my past, I acknowledge. And so I acknowledge, and I acknowledge the fact that I did them, that they were wrong, and now I take up a new stand. And I'm proud to be that penitent sinner. You know, I'm proud to be that person that says, yeah, I was wrong and I did those things, but I'm going to change.
Yeah.
I think that there's there's a lot of support. There's a lot of support in Christians all over the world. Actually just people of faith all over the world. I've had some wonderful people from all different backgrounds in faith, not just Christianity, but just, applaud my, efforts to at least share God's message and share what God has in store for us, which is wanting us to be closer to him because he loves us and made us out of love. So it's been really an affirming time in my life for people to do that. Of course, it's not always going to be that way. Mm. There'll always be some opposition, and I expect that.
With your conversion story, I guess, and all your whole experience through converting back to the church and everything, you know, people might say your message is very particular to maybe a woman, but mm-hmm. I feel like there's a great message for men out there within your talks. What do you think is the key message for men?
Well, I think the key message overall in my talks, if anybody would take the time to listen to them, is it's about conversion. It's yeah. about changing our lives and not being scared to do that, to be brave, to be courageous, to want something more and better for ourselves than what the world gives us. Yeah. And I think that when people say, oh, well, it's a talk just for women, well, do we not interact with women all over every day?
Exactly, yeah.
So either it's meant for the woman themselves or for the man that deals with the woman. I think that that's beneficial. But when it comes down to it, conversion is not a thing just for women.
Yeah.
Faith is not something just for women to have and to be the ones in the churches. We need strong men out there to take up their faith, to stand up for it. And I think, you know, my message to them is just that, is to be brave, to be real men, and be courageous to change your life as well. Pope Benedict XVI said that being a Christian means conversion. It means every day converting your life more and more into something of God and turning your back from the things that are selfish within you.
Mm. Who were the key men in your life that showed you, you know, God's love? I know I've heard you talk on EWTN about your father's role in your life. Can you
Absolutely.
Tell us about that?
Yeah, my father is definitely there have been off the top of my head, I can tell you there have been three men in my life that have been very influential. And the first one, obviously, is my father. He was one that was there for me always. My father never hesitated in telling me he loved me growing up. Mm-hmm. He also, you know, disciplined me as well. I mean, I respected my father greatly, and I still do to this day. And it was him that I called when things were terrible and I was rock bottom. And I called my dad and I asked him to come and get me and to pick me up. And he did. He left everything and drove 2,000 miles to come and
wow.
pick me up across the United States. And, along with my father, my grandpa, my grandfather, my grandpa Dale, he was absolutely, he just passed away recently, but he's been such a position of strength for me in my faith. He has such a strong devotion to Our Lady, and really he was just very strong and silent, very humble, and really taught me what humility looks like and how to love with your actions and with your heart and not just with your hands or your body.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third man that's absolutely transformed and changed my life is my husband. And I literally wake up every morning and I look over and I see him and I just can't believe God has given me such an amazing man to love. And I feel so blessed. I feel like I'm going to wake up one morning, it's going to be a dream and he won't be there. But he's there every day. And I love it. I love him. He's just fantastic.
Yeah. And he's a good cook, we heard over dinner.
Yeah. He's so much better than me. It's so pathetic. It's so sad. I thought I was going to be this wonderful, you know, traditional wife and cook for her husband every night. And every night my chicken was burned. I added too much lemon and it's terrible and we have to order Chinese food. But he's helping me. He's teaching me. He's very patient with me. So, but yes, he's a fantastic cook. He does very, very well in the kitchen.
Now, when you were on America's Next Top Model, what was your family's reaction to that? When they found out that you got in or you entered, your family's reaction to some of the things that you might've had to do on the reality show or after the show, just like particular photo shoots or things that your family might not have normally been comfortable with. What, I guess it's a twofold question. One, what was their reaction? And two, how did you in that moment have to deal with, I guess, the fact that you were living a different life to maybe what your family had wanted you to,
mm-hmm.
to have lived?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, in the beginning, my family was very excited as much as I was. We didn't know much about it. I mean, no one in my family or anybody's ever been on TV at all or nothing like that. So we just kind of got caught up in the excitement as well. They were very cautious about what I was being involved with and what I was going towards. And they They warned me about that. But when you're on the show, you know, I don't have daily phone calls with my parents. You know, you're not keeping in touch with the people that you trust and would ask for advice on things. So you have to make a lot of decisions on the spot. And frankly, you make very little decisions. They just tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. And they don't give you an option. And if because there is no option. If you don't do it, you are reminded that you signed a contract that's $1 million and that they have the right to sue you if you don't do, you know, what they would like you to do. And so you're always being reminded of kind of that type of a pressure. And I did do things on the show that I wasn't proud of. You know, I did photo shoots that I just kind of felt a little uncomfortable with, and I know that were immodest, and the show was just acting like it was no big deal. And I didn't know what to do. I was scared, and I was a coward. I refused to make the right decision at the right time, and I went with the flow. I went with the crowd, and, you know, of course, I pay for that now.
Mm. What do you say to women who are caught up in that same industry? You know, they're really trying to live a good life, but are just so caught up in trying to, trying to live out those pressures that they have on them in terms of immodesty and just being secular in the world.
Yeah, well, I think one thing is to remember that the people that you work with in the fashion industry have an agenda, and your best interest is not their agenda. Hands down. And you have to just realize that very quickly and know that they're trying to make money, that they have a job to do, and they're going to use you to do that, to make that happen. And usually the modeling jobs that pay the most are the modeling jobs that usually have you taking off the most clothes. Mm-hmm. Usually, not always. And so you have to keep that in mind as well. If you're trying to live a good life and you're wanting to get away from that lifestyle, if you're wanting to get away from a life of sin or the fashion industry that you're falling into, something like that, you know, don't expect that to be easy. You know, it's gonna be a huge leap of faith, and it's gonna be difficult to say, okay, I'm gonna say no to this, and I'm gonna trust that God has something in store for me that's better, that God will take care of me. And I had to, at one moment in my career, that's what I did. I was so scared. I didn't know how I was gonna pay my bills, what I was gonna do, but I just knew that this life, being a fashion model, was not making me happy. And I was trying so hard at it. And I just thought, you know what? I've got to give God a chance. And I just gave a leap of faith and left the shoot and walked out and quit and never looked back. And it was difficult and it was hard. And I did second guess myself and question, should I have done that? But every time I questioned that, I was reminded of God's love for me, that He loves me immensely. He wants my greatest good. And that the people in the fashion industry, they don't. They just simply don't.
So I guess stemming off from that, if there was a young Catholic woman, even if it wasn't just modelling, but if there was like an acting job, or do you think is it possible to maintain a good Catholic faith and be involved in this industry without losing your soul?
Yeah, I do. I do think it's possible. I think some professions are going to be more possible than others. I think as soon as you get involved very closely to the center of pop culture and media, it'll be more difficult. But I do think it's possible. There are wonderful actors and actresses out there who are really using their talents and doing well and choosing the right roles and are using the gifts that God's given them. They're using their humor or their acting abilities or whatever it is, and it's fantastic to see it, because that is really an art. It's an art form to do that. I think there's more of an art form in that than there is in modeling. I mean, I see much less of it there, and I see more of this taking beauty of God's beauty and then distorting it. And I think that's a problem. So I think it's absolutely possible, especially in acting or singing or, you know, all those different types of real art forms, creative art forms, that you absolutely can do it. You have to be diligent, have a very strong community around you, and not get involved in the community that's going to tear you down, morally speaking. Yeah. But it's possible. Absolutely.
Okay. You're also involved a lot with, I noticed, the Real Love Revolution. Can you tell us what that's about?
Yeah, the Real Love Revolution. Well, that is something that just started with another speaker. His name is Chris Stefanik, and he's an American speaker based in Denver, Colorado. And he and I were in the Philippines just last week, and we did this huge Real Love Revolution tour. And we went around all over the Philippines in in a week. And we spoke to tens of thousands of people.
That would have been crazy.
It did. Our large, the last conference we did, we spoke to 15,000 Filipinos. And it was an amazing thing. This Real Love Revolution is us going around and giving giving talks on real love, on what that is, what that looks like, and how to say no to the imitation love. Mm. So it's practical chastity talks. These were for teenagers. These are for high school, college, and even adults that we gave these talks to. We also gave talks to adults on how to raise pure teens. And so Chris Stefanik and I went around, and we've become a team with that, speaking with the Real Love Revolution and really trying to promote that message of what real love is, and let that, and hopefully we want to go all around the world speaking on that.
Speaking of that, I mean, you've come from the States and you're here in Australia, and as you said, you've been to the Philippines. Is real love like the biggest issue that you've seen, or as in understanding what real love is, have you found that a big issue worldwide?
Absolutely. I think that you know, we obviously, I mean, we are meant for relationships. I mean, we all are we're all in community, and we all want to be loved, and we want to give love. You know, we were created out of love first off, so that's kind of why we have that basis. But we want that. We want that deeply. However, when our definition of love and how we understand love becomes distorted, then it breaks down all of our relationships and our community around us, and our thinking and our actions and our behaviors. So it's really important to get down to the basis, to go back to the original problem, which is, okay, so what is love? And how do we give love? How do we receive love? And when you can correct the problem and redefine that term, which was probably defined incorrectly because we had culture influencing all of us about what love is, what relationships look like, then you can make some really big steps in your life. And then you can actually see clearly, oh, wait a minute, that's not love. And then be able to identify what real love is and order your life towards that goal.
That's awesome. What do you think most people are yearning for? Because I think in society we've got, you know, we've got people who are, who have different faiths, Catholics. We've got people who are not of any faith. But I think there's a sense of yearning that our culture really, really, I guess there's a gap because of our culture, because of the way society is. What do you think people are mostly yearning for?
I think that, you know, what I see in a lot of people around the world, and just in the opportunities I've had to speak to them at least, I see this yearning for truth and happiness. You know, I think people can pretty much at least admit that there's many things being offered today that are meant for our happiness but really don't make us happy. And I think people are really trying to seek out what is the truth in that. What is truth? What is truth and happiness? What's that? What is the thing that I'm really missing and lacking? And I think a lot of us have that void, and we become, in a sense, spiritually dead. And we need to awaken in our hearts and in our souls what we are called to, that we are called to a higher level of happiness, a higher level of love. And we need to reach out for that. And we can find that in God. We can find that in our Creator if we're open to that and if we want to really, truly seek truth. Pope Benedict has a great quote, and he says that truth has a face and truth has a name, and that is Jesus Christ. And for all Christians, I think that that speaks wonders to our souls when we really hear that and try to align our lives based on that definition of happiness. Because when we define our happiness in any other way, we fall flat. It falls short of what we really want. And I think we all really do want to be happy. And I think there's something within each and every one of us, and each and every person in the world, something deep that says, I want to do something big. I want to change the world. I want to offer the world something great. And we have this desire to do good. And we're just trying to figure out, how do I do that good? So when you define your terms right in your life, when you can define happiness correctly, define love correctly, in meaning that happiness and love are ordered to what is good, right, and true, in light of your faith, then you're going to navigate your life in a better way to achieve those goals.
I think that might be all we've got time for. I think we could go on for the next 2 hours sitting in this car.
Practical tips on modesty, personal tips for that.
But thank you so much, Leah,
for
this time.
You're welcome.
And guys, you've been listening to Leah Darrow. If you would like to hear any more of her talks, get onto Perusian Media. They've got recordings that will last you a lifetime that you can listen to over and over again. Once again, thank you so much, Leah.
You're welcome.
This is MCNNA. You listen to Love Talks Back. Thank you.
That was an interview with Leah Darrow by the Love Talks Back Girls. Leah will be in Australia until the 10th of September and still has dates remaining in Sydney and Melbourne, so make sure you check her out. For more information, visit perusiamedia.com. Cradio, nourishing the soul of the digital generation.